The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble. Oh, I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstand's all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Oh, I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me.
You'll go ahead and turn to Matthew, book of Matthew chapter 5, please. While you turn there, Matthew chapter 5, there's something you need to hear. It's important. Another missionary friend of mine, he's been in Australia for over 30 years. He gave me a statement one time. He said, think of Christianity, well, the Bible tells us think of Christianity as a warfare. Amen? It is a warfare. All right? I mean, I heard a man one time say, asked another older preacher, brother, have you fought a good fight? And he said, no, but I've been in a good one. Amen? He said, missionaries are the ones that are behind the enemy lines. The problem is, Satan knows we're there. He said, back home, you're the ones on the front line fighting. As I preach tonight, I want you to think about this, about missions. How important. I'm just a layperson. I'm just a person that stays here. I don't do anything. God's not really using me that much. But I want you to tell you how important you are to missionaries. Because if you don't do your job, it happened in England. If you don't do your job, then the missionaries have to come off the field to come on the front line here. It's important. So I want to preach to you tonight a little bit of how hungry are you. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, and seeing the multitude, that's Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't get people in Australia to say amen, so stands out of the question. okay? And seeing the multitudes, he, that's Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Go back to verse number 6. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're in a battle like we've never been before. Lord, I know you look at the signs, I know the time is near. But Lord, I pray you help me be a blessing tonight to the people that are here that are fighting. I pray that you, maybe someone here is struggling tonight, I pray that you'd help me to work through me, Lord. I can't do this by myself. I need you. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Listen, I just went through a list of blessings. Now, you understand that these are reciprocal blessings? You understand what reciprocal blessings are? Reciprocal blessings means you give, you get. All right? I mean, that's just the way it works. I was trying to explain to my daughter the other night that the only one that gives unconditional love is Jesus Christ and God. That's it. Well, parents give unconditional love. No, they don't. I mean, we like to think, as a parent, I like to think I do, but you really don't. Now, these are reciprocal blessings. And if you hunger, like in verse number 6 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you are hungry, then it's good when you get food, right? I mean, come on, it's good when you get food. But the problem is, most of us have never been hungry in our lives. I mean, look at me. I don't get hungry. I eat out of habit. All right? Most of us crave food. Amen? I mean, like a dope addict craves dope. It's not good for him. He just craves it. We crave food the same way. But see, most Christians today are not hungry anymore. I came back from Australia. Listen to me. Let me tell you a little bit about Australia. Australia and Sydney, Australia has the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras, the largest gay and lesbian Mardi Gras in the world. In the world. My kids have seen more nudity on accident than I've seen on purpose. You go into shopping centers, listen, and this is important. You go into shopping centers and men wear Speedos. There's no shirt, no shoes service there. You go in there with no shirt, Speedos and no shoes. They walk in there in bikinis. It happens. You go nuts with it. Well, I'm never going to go to the beach. You don't have to go to the beach. Just go to the shops. You can't avoid it. I come back to America, you know what I see? You're about three steps from that. The problem is in Australia, the failure is not those people that do that. You know what? You start thinking about it. They're ungodly sinners. They're lost. We failed. We have failed. Missionaries are depending upon you to fight on that field. That's what we're depending on. But I'm only 10. I only can give a quarter a week. So, amen. Because God can take that quarter and He can multiply it. The problem is, as Christians, we get so complacent that we don't get hungry. We're not hungry anymore. And it's not because you don't get the lack of Word of God. It's not because Word of God is not being preached to you. It's because we walk in here full already. You don't have a spiritual... Most Christians don't have a spiritual appetite because they're full. they're full. Listen to me. I was talking to like this man that's been on the field for 30 years. He was talking that more Christian kids are leaving church after they graduate. He wrote a lot of preachers and said, I'm talking about R.B. Ouellette, Brother Angel, a lot of preachers like that. Why? He just asked the question, why? Why is this happening? He got the same answer from every one of them. You know what it is? We don't know. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why. I think part of it is that we as parents, we as adults have lost spiritual appetite. Now, I just want to preach to you a short time, on how hungry are you. Now, in order for you to be spiritually hungry, you got to get empty. You got to get empty. It takes emptiness to be hungry. I'm sorry, you get through with a big meal, you don't want to go eat. You don't want food, any more food. You don't even want to look at it. After Thanksgiving dinner, all you want to do is lay on the couch, right? I mean, that's what most of us do. You've got to be empty. But there's certain things we've got to be empty of. We've got to be empty of self. Do you realize that everything's about me? That's our mentality today. Everything's about me. We are one of the most selfish societies I've ever seen in my life. Australia, I'm not talking about places like Philippines, Mexico. They're poor. And yet they're happy. But in Australia, we are upper middle class where I live. They have the good job, 2.5 kids and 2 cars. That's what they have. They don't need God. They don't have a need for God. And the ones that go to church, they only go on there as their convenience. Do you know that? There's a guy I met. He goes to another church, and I went over to his house. He invited me over to his house. He had a bunch of guys over there. And I'm talking to these guys, and I'm witnessing to them. There's a group of guys. There's other groups all over. There's a group of guys. And they're sitting there drinking beer, and I'm witnessing to them. My friend walks over, and they go, I figured the preacher would get around to Christians. I don't think going through my mind, these are Christians. They drink beer. They cuss. And I'm trying to witness it to them. We serve God because when we want to, how we want to, why we want to, as long as it's on our plan. And you know what another thing is? We always make the excuses for ourselves. Oh, you know how, no one's perfect. We plan for failure. Do you know that? We plan. You know what a prenuptial agreement is? It's a plan for divorce. Amen? Do you know what living together out of wedlock is? It's a plan not to get married and not ever. It's a failure of family is what it is. In Australia, more people live out of wedlock than they do. There's a family in our town named the Blanches. Okay? They have 3 kids. 2 of them are twins, are 18 years old. They've been together for 22 years. Oh, they've never been married for 22 years. It's accepted. It's common. That's because we want self. So we got to get rid of self. That's one of our biggest problems. And I'm talking about Christians. I ain't talking about lost people. I'm talking about Christians. We got to get rid of ourselves. Another thing we got to get rid of is our silver. Turn to Luke chapter 18, please. Luke chapter 18 is a very familiar story. Luke 18:18. And the Bible says there, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Ye lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this rich man, people get confused. In Australia, I spend half my time when I preach going over basics. Very basics. They know nothing about God, don't know anything about God. Well, preacher, I don't want to be poor. Jesus is not telling him to be poor. Jesus was explaining to him, you depend on your riches. You're dependent on that. You need to get rid of that. See, same thing on self. Some of the biggest problems we have as Christians is we don't humble ourselves. I got money. I can control. There's a church in our town that's got a lot of rich people in it. And that preacher, he does exactly what rich people say. Why? Because they think they have power. They don't humble themselves. It's like getting saved. You got to humble yourself. You got to let go of that silver. You got to get it out of your system. You got to empty yourself of it. God don't mind you making money as long as you don't put it first. That's the problem. Another thing you got to get rid of is society. What are you talking about? Do you realize a lot of us, it took me years because I went to a public school. I was taught about evolution. When I got saved, it took me years to get that out of my head. It does. Because evolution and creation don't mix. Do you know that? It don't mix. We got to get that philosophy out of us. We got to get the philosophy that we're going to live the way the world lives. We got to get the philosophy of, you know, listen, you'll never be full until you get empty of the world. But brother, I like these certain books. Okay, I'm sorry. Preacher, I'm sorry. If you are reading Twilight books, you need to burn them and ask God to forgive you and get back right. There's nothing godly about vampires. They're not real, but there's nothing godly about it. It's one of the biggest crazes. I guess it's a big craze here. It's one of the biggest crazes in Australia. You got to get rid of those. Anything similar to it, anything like it, get it out. Get the world's philosophy out of you. Let me tell you something else, especially teenagers. This is important. Life is not like the movies. Love and marriage is not like the movies. When I married my wife, I was in love with her. We've been married 24 years. Guess what? I found out when I married her, I wasn't in love with her. Because now I'm in love with her. Now I can't see living without her. I pray every day, God, let me die before she does. Because I couldn't make it. I can't even iron my own clothes. That's what love is. We got to get that philosophy, that society's philosophy they keep pumping in us. You know, we need the next fashion. We need the next biggest thing. We need this. We need to get with what God wants us to have. And let me tell you one thing before I go on to the next thing. I'm going to number two. When you're in the world, Christian, we know it. When you're in the world, we know it. One of the biggest things in Australia they like, and this is great, the food, they put garlic in a lot of food in Australia. I love garlic. It's good for you. It is great. But you eat too much garlic, it comes out of your sweat. You eat too much garlic, everybody knows you're eating garlic. All right? When you get full of it, everybody knows it. Guess what? When you're full of the world, everybody else knows it. I'm thinking of a young lady right now that was in our church, no longer in our church. I'm thinking of her right now in my mind, and I can see the world in her. She's saved, but I can see the world in her. It's just oozing out of her. We got to cling to that. Number two, next thing we got to get rid of, when you want spiritual hunger, there's effort involved. There's an effort involved. Do you know that? Listen, you got to search for the godly things. You got to search for what God has for you. You get hungry enough. Listen, if I was hungry and I'm out in the middle of the woods, I would hunt for that deer. or berries or whatever it is I could eat. You get hungry enough for the Word of God, you get hungry enough for the things of God, you'll find the right church. You'll get involved. Do you know that? Listen, churches are not like they used to be today. I come back from Australia and this is my number nine church. And I'm looking at some of these churches that when I left or when they took me on, they're not like they used to be. I don't know what's happening. I can't explain it. The only thing I say is we're in a war. We got to fight. And somebody's given up. We're starting to give up on things. Churches are not like they used to. We got to search for good churches. Either that or you ask God, if you're out somewhere and you don't have a good church where you live, start one. And then ask God to send a preacher. But if you're here tonight, that means you're within driving distance. And if it takes you an hour to get here, amen. Nothing wrong with that. That means you're willing to pay the price. We got to suffer sometimes, you know that? Listen to me. If you want blackberry pie and cherry just won't do, you're going to have to get in the briar patch. Amen? You're going to have to get some scratches on your body. Listen, if the NIV is good enough for you, you don't have to work that hard. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I cannot find, it is nearly impossible for me to find a King James Bible at Koorong in Australia. Koorong is the only Christian bookstore. I can't find one. I have to order them from the States. Isn't that sad? But it's easy to find. I can find the NIV. If you want the real thing, a strong desire for the real thing, then you may have to suffer a little bit. You may have to work at it a little bit. One of the things I had my coaches tell me when I was in high school and played football is he used a General Patton statement. All right? A cup of sweat is better than a cup of blood. Same way with Christians. Work a little hard, you're not going to be paying the consequences. You're not going to wake up one day and come to church and Brother Laster's not here no more. You got some preacher up here in just a collared shirt, got drums over there. You don't know how good you got it. You got to fight for it. It's important. There also comes a time, and this is the hardest part, there comes a time of separation too when you're searching for the right food, when you get hungry enough. What do you mean separation? Did you know that sometimes you're going to lose family and friends? Do you know that? I don't mind telling you. My dad told me one time, you know, you can be a good Christian and not go to church. I said, Dad. Now, my dad's saved. He's one of those old-fashioned country guys. All right? I say that, and he retired from Arlington Fire Department. Okay? But he's one of those old-fashioned, he runs rope and steers right now. That's what he does. And I've talked to him about his salvation. He gives a good testimony of it. But he don't go to church. You don't have to be a good Christian to go to church. I said, Dad, that's not what the Bible says. It's contrary to what Scripture says. Well, that's just your interpretation of that. How many of you heard that? Yeah, amen? It's going to separate your family from you. It's going to do it. Number three, there's dangers of extremes. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27, please. Proverbs chapter 27. There's dangers of extremes out there. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 7. The Bible says, the full soul loatheth in a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Listen to me. Some things are good for you, not necessarily taste good. Do you know that? Do you realize getting up in the morning and getting on your knees and asking God and praying for lost people, praying for the missionaries, praying for your pastor, praying for your Sunday school teacher, praying for the kids on the bus route, praying for... You know, sometimes that's hard. Oh, praying is easy, Pastor. No, it's not. It's work. Especially if you're doing it right. That's not the sweet things of Christianity. What you want is all the blessings. Amen? You like blessings? I like blessings. But the problem is Christians, we don't want to work for them. We don't want to hunger for them. We want the sweet all the time. We want to turn to chapter 25. Chapter 25. Verse number 16. It said, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited up." Look at verse number 27 there. It says, "It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory." In other words, eat honey. Eat honey. Eat honey. Don't eat too much honey. You know, sometimes we need savory stuff. Do you know some of the biggest churches in Australia, the largest independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church? I'm talking about this is a mega church in Australia. And some of you may know or heard of him. His name is Robert Bax. He runs 450. Hillsong, which I wouldn't even, I mean, they're a happy, clappy church, but I wouldn't classify them as that because I don't know. I wouldn't even classify them as a church. They run thousands. Why? The preacher gets up here and doesn't give a soul winning message. He doesn't get up here and tell you how to be saved. He gets up here and tells you that God loves you and you can be rich. He wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Matter of fact, when they take up offering in Australia, we have what they call FPOS. FPOS is like debit. It's called electronic funds transfer. They'll walk down with these machines, so you can just take your little card and go, shh. That's all they're after. He gets up here and he preaches this glorious mess. It's sweet. It's nice. Amen? The Joel Osteen type. I mean, come on. I've heard Brother Laster preach. He taught me in Bible college. I've heard Brother Smith preach. I promise you, you don't get a lot of sweetness. Amen? Don't get me wrong. They love you. They have compassion. But you don't get a lot of sweetness. You get down to the meat. You know what the problem is? We need savory. Sweet's okay sometimes. We need savory mainly. Like I heard one preacher say one time, we need preaching that puts your hide on the wall and blood in the cracks. That's what we need. If you're not getting your shins kicked, you might be in the wrong church. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, these are familiar stuff. This is nothing new. This is not like Brother Wayne's coming out with something new doctrine or anything like this. This should be, for this church, is definitely familiar. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I want you to know something here. Doctrine, that teaches you what you need to do. For reproof is pretty bad. That's getting on to. For correction, most of us don't like to be corrected. We're in a society today, we don't like correction. For instruction in righteousness. We need our shins kicked. We need our toes stomped on. I'm not talking about stepped on, I'm talking about stomped. It's getting that way in this society today. We need it. Let me tell you what I did. I'm closing with this. I'm in Australia for 7 years. I'm knocking on doors, and 90% of the things, 90% of the answers I get are not interested. Religion causes wars. That's the main two answers I get. I always tell them the same thing. Yes, religion causes war, but I'm not offering you religion. See, I run... How many know what a Coptic is? Do you know what a Coptic is? See, I knew what it was, but I never run into one. Hindus, Buddhists. Of course, there's so many variations of Buddhists, you'll be surprised. The Western culture takes it and changes it all around. Muslims. That's in my little town. I get. Then not counting the people who worship the crystals. All right? I get a lot of them. You knock on doors, and you knock on doors, and you knock on doors, and for the first 3 years, I'm preaching Sunday morning. You want me to tell you what my Sunday morning for the first 3 years is? You two can stay, the rest of you can go. Because it was just my wife and daughter. Sunday night, add two more people. That's what it was like. You talking about getting discouraged? I got discouraged. I got down. Oh, I wanted to quit. But you know what my problem was? My problem wasn't I wasn't praying enough. My problem wasn't I wasn't reading the Word of God enough. My problem was that my toes weren't getting stumped. You need preaching. I'm sorry, you need it. What I did is I got a podcast, and some of you may know of them, and you may not. The only podcast I could find was Tony Hudson. I got all his tapes. Why? I need to be yelled at. And he yells at you and makes you feel... And all of a sudden, I got on fire again. That's what I needed. We are too... We're not hungry enough anymore. And what I'm afraid of is America's going to become like England, and all the missionaries from America are going to have to come off the field to come back here to take the places that y'all let slip. I don't want to be here. What do you mean? I want to be back. I want to be back with my people. You know someone standing in my pulpit tonight? The one that God gave me. I want to be there. I want to be with those people. I want to see them get saved. I love them now. America's my country, I understand it. But I don't want to be here. And some of you, well, time to go to church again. Man, I hope the preacher's not too long. I don't feel like getting up Sunday morning. Some of you do the bus route. I know some of you do the bus route. I used to do it. I got to get up in the cold or it's hot. You're not hungry enough. Well, we're not seeing that many people get saved anymore. I cannot find anywhere in this Bible that says you're to save anybody. I do find... You want to have fun? In 7 years, I've seen 3 people get saved. That's not from the lack of trying. One of them's in church, Alan Drakefield. Comes to church the same way. T-shirt, shorts, flip-flops. He's 68 years old. Same way. Because usually he's coming from fishing. That's usually what he's coming from. Wintertime, he does change in wintertime. It's a jacket, T-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. I want him to wear a jacket, and he looks at me and goes, "Ain't you cold? Alan, shut up. You got shorts on." But I take 100 of Alan's. He comes to church. He's there every Wednesday. The sad part about it is, I just found out tonight, or a couple days ago, since I've been here, he hasn't been back. If you see someone missing your church you normally see, what's wrong with you? How come you don't feel that way? How come that don't hurt you? How come you're not out talking to them? Listen to me. Don't run out to people and turn around and go, "Why aren't you at church?" That's stupidity. Go to them and say, "I love you. We missed you." Independent Baptists are bad about kicking people. ain't hungry enough anymore. How hungry are you? Where's your spiritual appetite? What are you doing to get it back? Might every head be bowed, every eye closed. Stand to your feet. These altars are open. Please, get your appetite back. Please. This country needs you. Arlington needs you. If you're not going to do it, nobody else will. And I'm talking nobody else will. Preacher.
They would please. If you'd like to respond tonight, you come, you've heard the preacher preach. I wonder if there might be somebody in our congregation that would come tonight and say, I'll go help in Australia. I'll go to a very needy place. There's a lot of needy places around the world. America is a needy place. And here's a man that's made an appeal. God speaking to you, you come. Window of opportunity, folks. It's closing. It's getting smaller and smaller by every passing day. You've heard me say many times, I've heard people say, Preacher, God doesn't need me. Yeah, He does.